Hey, good morning, Sower Nation. It is Sunday, January the 4th, in the year of our Lord, 2026. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Now, I know I promised I wasn't going to do any more super marathon, seven-day-a-week wake-up call death marches, and I'm not. This is January, and we have 31 chapters we're getting our way through, so we're not taking breaks on the weekends. You know, once we get going maybe into the year, we will get to take some different sort of adventures on Saturday and Sunday. I'm wanting to bring Holy Spirit stories back and maybe some Psalter posts from the tenants, but that's not for January. We're going 31 for 31, and we're going to win. But today, we're just focusing on winning today. Y'all see, if you're watching on this YouTube channel, you're seeing I wear my sweatshirt most days. It's got the today word on the front, today, period. There's so much wisdom in that word alone. Stay out of yesterday. Stay out of tomorrow. This is the day the Lord has made. And I already hear you saying, let us rejoice and be glad in it. That's so good. Makes me just want to start singing, this is the day. Well, maybe we'll sing that at the end today. But we got consecration here before us. You ready? We're leaning in. We're going all in today with Jesus. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, our text today is Proverbs chapter 4, all day long. Our entry is entitled, Becoming Fixated in a Good Way. We're reading Proverbs chapter 4. I'm going to focus in on verses 23 through 26. Hear now the word of the Lord. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Focus matters, maybe more than anything else. Whatever captures our focused attention captures us. Focused people usually get where they're going, while the rest of us tend to wander wearing t-shirts that say things like, not everyone who wanders is lost. From today's text, we see a direct connection between the eyes and the heart. Interestingly, though, the heart is the control center for our lives, i.e., our will, affections, dispositions, and aspirations. Our most significant navigational instrument is our eyes. Jesus said one's eyes are the window into their soul. That's Matthew 6:22. The Apostle Paul brought these ideas together in profound wisdom in his prayer for the Ephesians and us. Here's how he prayed it, verse chapter 1, 18 and 19. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Let your eyes look straight ahead, our text of the day says. Fix your gaze directly before you. When I was about 14 years old, the sacrosanct challenge of planting soybeans fell to me after the designated planter became disabled. Something was in his eye. He had to be taken to the hospital. I jumped on the tractor and launched out into the field. I would look over the left front tire for a while, and then the right front tire for a while, and then just over the hood to try to keep things in balance, or so I thought. You see, the most important skill a planter must possess is the ability to plant straight rows. One of the old men on the farm drove up on the turn row and flagged me down. He gently let me know that it looked as though I was planting under the influence of some vision-altering substance. My rows were anything but straight, and I suspect he was the one who would have the impossible task of plowing them later in the growing season. I'll never forget what he told me. He said, John David, if you want to plant straight rows, you have to pick out a tree on the far end of the field and keep your eyes focused on that tree and drive straight to it. And wonder of wonders, my planting rows miraculously straightened. There's a tree on the horizon of all of our lives. It's the hallmark sign of the greater vision for which we were all created. It must become the focal point of our everyday walking around experience. It's the cross of Jesus, looming always on the horizon. Jesus calling out, come to me, straight to me, keep your eyes fixed on me. Let's hear Paul again as we close. He says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. Abba, Father, open the eyes of my heart that I might behold your Son on the horizon of my vision. Grant me the spirit of wisdom and revelation that I might know you better. Come, Holy Spirit, and enlarge my heart by focusing my vision. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our journal prompts today. I'm believing that you're journaling. You are working it out. How might we assess the condition of our own hearts and on what our gaze is presently fixed? And what if every morning you found a way to fix your gaze on Jesus before you did anything else? Isn't that what we're trying to do? Isn't that what consecration's about? What would that take? How would it take shape for you? What do you think would happen if, in your life, if Jesus and his kingdom became not just one aspiration among others? Or worse, you were just sort of stuck in a religious box. But what if he became the singular focus of your life? I want you to journal about what your fears around that would be. Do you fear he would mess things up, that he would take away something you long for and cherish, that he would squelch your dreams? Sometimes that holds us back. We just fear that, you know, if this is something I want, man, that's just a sign that God doesn't want it. Doesn't that sound terrible? But that's really true for so many of us. It's been true for me before. I went through a long stage of life like that, thinking, man, if it's something I want, that means God doesn't want it. That just says you got a wrong view of God, what God is like. Think about Jesus saying, you know, if you, being evil, long to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to you? We need a better vision, see? It starts with our eyes. You know, it's interesting how in this text today, you start with guard your heart. But then he begins to tell you, how do you do that? It's like, fix your gaze, right? Guarding your heart, it can just become just an emotional vacillation, a constant shifting of the sands. He's like, focus on your heart. No, guard your heart. Fix your gaze. Fix your vision. That's the lesson of the proverb today. If you want to guard your heart, you got to fix your vision on Jesus. He's the one that can order. If we make him the priority, we don't have to have priorities anymore, which is mythical. Only one thing can go first. And then that will bring order to everything else. It'll come into this, really, this ease of order. Not this sort of stressed out anxiety that so many of us are carrying, trying to manage things and balance things either. You know, guys, I don't believe in a balanced life anymore. I think it's just like trying to hold things in tension. You're always trying to balance things. That's just endless stress. That's a recipe for dropping the ball, for actually missing life. Because we're putting our focus on all the things and trying to hold them in balance or tension. No, it's about an all-in, surrendered fixation on the Son of God and allowing him to take up management and allowing his Spirit to actually lead our days. That's how he wants to do it. I mean, wouldn't it be good to give him a shot at it? Just today, right? You see my shirt on the YouTube today, just today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Let's see how that could go today. All right, are you ready to sing? Six. Okay, guys, it's Sunday. It's a day we're going to be warming up. We'll be singing in church today. Today is the day we'll celebrate the epiphany of our Lord, the coming of the wise men. Following that star. But tell them what we're singing today.
Okay, we're going to sing one that's we all know. And, excuse me, and that's the old rugged cross. Excuse me.
You need some water?
No, I just clear my throat. The old rugged cross. The first person I thought of when I saw this hymn was Aunt Ruth.
Aunt Ruth.
Aunt Ruth. The first one that came to my mind was Aunt Ruth.
I thought you were going to say Peepaw.
Well, him too.
Peepaw loved the old rugged cross. Yeah. Aunt Ruth, you know, Aunt Ruth, Ruth Tracy, she would always go to Manuel Baptist in Little Rock.
She would.
And she loved Dr. Vault up there. She'd always tell
us. Well, I guess she was a Baptist, wasn't she?
She was a Baptist. She loved Billy Graham. Man, Aunt Ruth was something. She was a school teacher.
She was.
Aunt Ruth would always tell me, she'd say, John David, there's three kinds of people that I had in my classrooms. There were pupils, and there were students, and there were scholars. She said, John David, I want you to be a scholar.
And he has.
I think I've only maybe made it to a student, but we'll appreciate Aunt Ruth. Okay, we're going to sing. What's our number today?
Well, I thought it was...
right here.
Yeah. 236.
236.
The old rugged cross.
We're just going to take our time and sing all four verses, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
it's
sir.
It's a great song for us. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear into dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Verse 3. In that old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wonderful beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Last verse. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross
and exchange it someday for a crown. Amen.
That's a good one, isn't it?
Oh, goodness. Wonderful, wonderful.
That's that reminds me of another song we need to sing. You know that old song, Sing Them Over Again to Me.
Wonderful words of love.
We're going to sing that one this week. I guarantee you we're going to pull it out. See, that's humming. There it goes humming again.
I just don't know the title to it.
Well, Wonderful Words of Life. We'll sing them this week. Well, everybody, it's time. We got to let you go. You got to get ready for church. We know you're probably trying to finish that last cup of coffee, and you need to show up today. The church is counting on you. We're counting on you. And I love that old sign I once saw on a church little sign. It said CH, and then there was a blank space CH, and it said, "What's missing in the middle?" In the two letters, you are. You are. So
right.
Go to church today. Even if you can't go, get online. The Lord will put you together online with us. If you don't have an online church, come to Gillette. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper today in Gillette. And you know what? If you want to just bring your own bread and juice or crackers or whatever you got, we'll consecrate it online and we'll welcome you to the table of the Lord. So that's how we're going to be starting off our new year in church on the Sunday. We're going to remember the wise men, the kings that came following that star. I got to quit. We got to get ready. Listen, we'll see you today at the house of the awakening. I'm J.D. Walt.
And I'm David Walsh.